involved with him than she was with James. Had she been different before she found Abigail Mantell's body? Probably not. She lifted her son onto her shoulder and rubbed his back. He reached out and grasped a strand of her hair. The room was at the top of a neat Georgian house, built of red brick and red tile. It was double-fronted and symmetrical, with rectangular windows and a door in the middle. It had been built by a seafarer who'd traded with Holland, and James had liked that. "We're carrying on a tradition," he'd said when he showed her around. "It's like keeping it in the family." Emma had thought it was too close to home, to the memories of Abigail Mantell and Jeannie Long, and had suggested that Hull might be more convenient for his work, or Beverley. Beverley was a pleasant town. But he'd said Elvet was just as good for him.
"It'll be nice for you to be so close to your parents," he'd said.
And she'd smiled and agreed, because that was what she did with James. She liked to please him. In fact, she didn't care much for Robert and Mary's company. Despite all the help they offered, they made her feel uncomfortable, and for some reason, guilty. Above the rumble of the wind there came another sound. A car engine. Headlights swept onto the square, briefly lighting up the church gate, where dead leaves were blown into a drift. James parked on the cobbles, got out, and shut the door with a solid thud. At the same time, Dan Greenwood emerged from the old forge. He was dressed as Emma had imagined, in jeans and the blue smock. She expected him to pull together the big double doors and fasten them with a key he kept on a ring clipped to his belt on a chain. Then he would push a heavy brass padlock through the iron rings bolted to each door and shove the hasp in place. She had watched this ritual from the window many times. Instead, he crossed the square towards James. He wore heavy work boots, which rapped loudly on the paving stones and made James turn round. Seeing them together, it occurred to her how different they were. Dan was so dark that he should have been a foreigner. He could play the villain in a Gothic melodrama. And James was a pale, polite Englishman. She felt suddenly anxious about the two men meeting, though there was no reason. It wasn't as if Dan could guess at her fantasies. She had done nothing to give herself away. Carefully, she raised the sash window so she could hear their words. The curtains billowed. There was wind in the room with a taste of salt on it. She felt like a child, listening in to an adult conversation, a parent and teacher perhaps, discussing her academic progress. Neither of the men had seen her.
"Have you seen the news?"
Dan asked. James shook his head.
"I've come off a Latvian container, Hull, to sign off. Then I drove straight home." "You've not heard from Emma, then?" "She's not much one for the news." "Jeannie Long committed suicide. She'd been turned down for parole again. It happened a couple of days ago. They kept it quiet over the weekend."
James stood, poised to click the fob of his car key to lock up. He was still wearing his uniform and looked dashing in an old-fashioned way, as if he belonged to the time the house was built. The brass buttons on his jacket gleamed dully in the unnatural light. His head was bare. He carried his cap under his arm. Emma was reminded of when she had once had fantasies about him.
"I don't suppose it'll make much difference to Em. Not after all this time. I mean, it's not as if she knew Jeannie, not so much. She was very young when all that was going on." "You're going to reopen the Abigail Mantell case?"
Dan Greenwood said. There was a moment of silence. Emma wondered what Dan could know about all that. Had the two men discussed her on other occasions when she hadn't been watching?
"Because of the suicide?"
James asked.
"Because a new witness has just come forward. It seems Jeannie Long couldn't have murdered that lass."
He paused. Emma watched at him rub his forehead with his broad, stubby fingers. It was as if he was trying to rub away the exhaustion. She wondered why...